All right, we are broadcasting live, gentlemen. I want to welcome everybody to the Monday Q&A. Every Monday at 9 p.m., join a few dent guys as we discuss all types of things. This time around, for we plug ourselves, we have Christian from Five Star Dent Removal. Out
How's it
of
going?
Michigan, right?
Yep, Michigan.
All right, cool. You want to give them a little spill? Where they can find you, where you're at in social media, all that good stuff?
Yeah, basically, website is 5stardentremoval.com, and we have Instagram at 5stardent, and Facebook and Twitter as well. Basically, the same handle.
Good. Ryan, you wanna introduce
RPS
yourself?
Dent Repair, Baltimore, Maryland. What's up,
David,
guys?
City Dent Repair, what's up?
All right, guys, Chris Dennis Touch, Washington, D.C. So I want to thank everyone for joining us on this show. I think we have a great topic today. Me and Christian discussed this about 2 weeks ago. And it's about basically switching from hail chasing to a retail shop. Christian, do you want to tell the audience a little bit about, your background and how long you've been in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I have been doing dents for almost 16 years. Started in 2003. I live in Michigan right now, but originally came from Florida. Lived in the Broward County area, and started out just working for. Actually, we'll go a little bit further back. How I got into the whole mobile reconditioning business is I started working for Colors on Parade way back in the day, back in
Wow.
like 97, 98.
Wow. Colors on
Yeah, Colors
Parade.
on Parade. Yeah,
Wow.
doing bumper repair. Had a friend of mine that was, bought a franchise and things were getting busier. So he asked me if I wanted to come and work with him. And so fast forward a couple of years, another friend was working for a local PDR guy at the time and was looking for somebody who could offer the bumper repair and touch-up service to his existing customer base. So I started working for him, and then as things went, he asked me if I would be interested in learning how to do PDR, and so that way I could fill in, if he ever needed me to do stuff at some of the dealerships. And I said, yeah, absolutely. I had kind of known about it from Colors on Parade because at that time they had a few guys that were doing PDR, so I would see the guys on the same lots doing PDR, and I was always interested in it. And that's how I initially got to learning paintless dent repair. And then, it's been a fun ride. I mean, the last 15 years, I mean, I've done just about every aspect of this business that there is. I mean, I did the dealer body shop route. I've done, I worked for Enterprise Rental Car doing some of their bigger, crazy dents. And then, basically the topic of today's conversation about 5, 6 years ago, decided to get into chasing hail. And that was an exciting, time, just getting to travel all around and see all the different, places. And now I'm where I'm at now with the retail shop.
Nice. So normally we go over some tools, and you were talking about some tools before we jumped on. So let's go over the tools for the first few minutes before we really get into kind of your transition into a retail shop.
All right.
Dave, you want to start off?
Yeah.
You look
I
surprised.
brought huh? No, I'm actually looking at Christian's Instagram right now.
Oh,
I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm like, damn, finally, okay.
okay.
But I have the Ultra Dent Tools pick set.
Okay.
Oh,
I used this
that's
the
a
other day.
great set.
Love this set. This is the longer version. I do have a shorter version as well.
Is that new, Dave?
I've had them. I just don't use them as often as I think. I thought I was going to, but they're definitely nice for aluminum. This is what I'm using
Yeah.
for aluminum hoods. When I really need to crank on something, Love these tools.
Any flex?
Very, very stout. No flex. No flex whatsoever. Super, super sharp tip, if you can see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nice handle. The handle feels great when you're cranking on it. I don't feel like this is going to slip in any way. It's going to move in any way. These handles are really, really nice. So, yeah, Ultra Pick Set. Definitely highly recommend it.
Yeah, those are great tools. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but I know Woody Koss from Dead on Dent Tools actually sells a set of rubber grips that go over those that are supposed to be really, really comfy too. So you might want to check those out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love this set. Love this. I only have two. I think there's a couple more sizes, but I love this set.
Yeah, I have the same set and I use them. I use them constantly.
Nice. Time to order.
That's the problem with this show is we all
it makes you spend money.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It's fine. Ryan, Dave, you got anything else?
That's all I got. I got those two tools. Nice.
I got nothing. I'm on vacation, so I got
I've got we're over here working and Ryan's on vacation.
What's behind you? Life is good, something. What is that behind you? At your
life
beach
is
house.
Good at the beach. Life there is good go. At the beach. How about that?
There you go. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Cool. Cool. Christian, you said you had a few you wanted to go over.
Yeah. I was just telling the guys that, you know, I don't know why it took me so long to get this set of tools, but, you know, I've used them several times over the years, you know, being on the Hail Trail, but the Mark Zirkus rods, fantastic. I mean, definitely not something for, you know, for the new guys, but definitely, you know, something that will help you out on those sharper dents, you know, stuff that's, you know, maybe got a little stretch to it and you need something real, real sharp to, you know, to gather up that metal. And surprisingly, you know, even just for regular hail dents, you know, you would think that going at a dent with a sharp tip, you know, would be kind of crazy, but you'd be surprised at how quickly and how cleanly you can fix a regular hail dent with those sharp tools. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, I would say definitely, I know it's probably late to the game, but if you're like me and you haven't, you know, purchased that set, I would really look into it. And I mean, for the five tools, it's only like $380. So, I mean, you know, it's a fairly inexpensive set, you know, for what you're getting.
Yeah.
I use that set every day, something out of that set every day.
Yeah.
So a lot of aluminum, that stuff works amazing on aluminum. I actually just sharpened mine. I've had mine for a couple of years and the tips were kind of getting a little not as sharp as they were. So we sharpened them at the shop. And
yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, I know right now with mine being new, I mean, they're super sharp. I mean, if you happen to poke yourself with one, I mean, it'll cut you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're awesome tools. Awesome.
Cool. Cool. Sounds good. I don't have anything for today. There's no excuse, but all my tools are at the shop right now. So. Sorry about that. All right, so let's get into the main, hold on, where's my mouse here? The main topic. And it's basically how you transition from hail. Actually, I think go over, how was it chasing hail? What are some of the things you liked and things that you disliked about chasing hail?
Okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I really enjoy hail repair. I mean, I know that some guys cannot stand it. Some guys, you couldn't pay them enough to do hail because of the monotony or the whatever. But I happen to be one of those guys that I really enjoy it, you know, and I would say one of the best things about it is just being able to come to the shop. You know that you have a car to work on. You throw your headphones on and you just go to town, you know? And I mean, I'm a big audiobook guy, so I listen to a lot of audiobooks, you know, in between music. So just trying to better myself, you know, that I had a lot of time to be able to do that. But yeah, just basically the ability to just be able to work and zone in on what I was doing. I mean, obviously one of the other perks about doing hail is you get to see a lot of the country that you might not normally get to see.
I like that part. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, you don't always end up in a a cool town. You know, I mean, sometimes you end up in a small little nowhere place, but you know, usually within a short drive from there, you know, you always have your, you know, your bigger city. So, you know, just being able to go and explore, like on the weekends, you know, when you're not pushing dents, you know, you get to do a little sightseeing, and it's really neat.
Right. Nice. Yeah, I can imagine. So is that the only thing you like? Just the peace and quiet, it seems like.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, since getting here, not to jump too far ahead, but you know, with the retail shop just getting really busy right now. I mean, it's, you know, you're dealing constantly with the phone calls and the text messages, and then you're trying to push dents at the same time. You know, when you're on the road and you have, you know, you can pretty much just turn your phone off if you don't want to talk to anybody and you just listen to music and zone out, like nobody bothers you, you know, as long as you get your stuff done, you're golden.
Now, did you team up with a guy on the road or was it just you?
No, actually I had a partner pretty much from the start. A real good friend of mine. I don't know. He might be watching right now. Hans Carrion, him and I, you know, we partnered up and, you know, I enjoyed that part of it just because, you know, him and I, we got along really well. So in addition to being a good work partner, you know, when you spend so much time with the same person all the time for months and months out of the year, I mean, it definitely helps to have a good, you know, partner that, you know, is on your same level, not only work-wise, but, you know, just, you know, work ethic and just somebody cool that you can hang out with, because you end up going to dinner a lot, you're going to lunch, you know, on the weekends, maybe you're going to watch a movie or something, or you're going to play golf. So, you know, you spend a lot of time with that person. So, you know, it's important to pick somebody that you get along really well with, you know?
How are you making these connections on the trail? Were you just kind of just traveling around and to different locations saying, hey, this is what we do? Or did you have connections in these spots already that you guys had made? Hey, we have some cars, come on down. Or were you just kind of going in blind?
A little bit of both, man, honestly. You know, luckily, when I started working with Hans, he had already been chasing Hale for quite a few years. So he already had a pretty good network of guys. But,
cool.
You know, the cool thing is that when you do go to a new storm, you know, typically you're working with new guys that you've never met. And because you guys are working next to each other every day, you typically start to build, you know, friendships with the guys. And then,
right.
You know, as long as, you know, you do good work, usually everybody sort of exchanges phone numbers. And then, you know, when you know
call
that,
me if you need anything.
Yeah, call me if you need anything, or you get to know, like, okay, you know, he lives in this area or he has connections in this area. So maybe when you know, you're watching Eye Damage or you hear something about a storm in a particular area, you're like, oh, hey, you know what? I remember so-and-so lives there or is from there. You know, let me call him or let me shoot him a text. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh yeah, we got this dealership or body shop, you know, come on down. And just over the years, your network of guys just builds and builds and builds. Yeah. And, you know, before you know it, you've usually always got a spot to go to every year.
Nice. So basically you ran with Hans for how many years?
Let's see, I would say almost 6 years, five, almost 6 years. Yeah. And then last year was like my last year really of doing Hale. It was kind of like a partial season. You know, I went down to Alabama, Birmingham, and I did some work with Ryan Hampton. And then after that, went up to Rockford and did some work with Dentsmart, which was a great experience. I really enjoyed working with those guys. And then this year, man, for the first time in almost, you know, 6 years, is the first time that I have actually not left to go on the road. And it feels strange, you know, when you're so used to that, you know, that season starting around March, April, and then, you know, you just know that you're going to be gone and on the road till about August, September. And now, you know, I mean, we're, you know, middle of July and I'm still home. It kind of feels weird, but in a good way.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's good. Hold on, just get my notes here. So let's talk about some of the negatives of chasing Hale. What did you not like about chasing Hale?
All right. Well, and I was going to say too. I know Chris. I mentioned that my wife might be interested in coming on the show. I was going to you know, have her, you know, get her perspective. But, you know, I think I can kind of speak for her when, you know, I would say as far as the negative, I mean, you know, from my wife, I would say, you know, her being home and having to deal with, you know, with the kids and just the everyday kind of responsibility of raising a family and having me not be there, can be really tricky. You know what I mean? Like, and as a dad, you feel like you're having to parent long distance, you know, over the phone. You know, it can be tough. You know, I got two boys, you know, one's 13, one's 10. And so for the majority of, you know, up until now, you know, the majority of their growing up, like I was always gone, you know, right, on the road for most of the summer, you know? And so that's tough. You know, you miss out on a lot of things. I mean, my wife was really great about, you know, if they were playing sports, you know, games, you know, she would, you know, video and do certain things like that. So at least I got to experience those things. And one of the things that I really tried to do my best at was any important events that were happening at home, I always tried to make sure that I came home for those. So that's something I highly recommend for, you know, for guys, you know, those moments, especially if you have kids, I mean, they don't, you know, they're not kids forever, you know what I mean? And you just don't want to be regretting that. So even though it sucks that you're on the road and you're missing out, at least if at all possible, you know, make it home for the birthdays and the, you know, the graduations or whatever, because, you know, you don't want to regret not having that.
Of course.
Right. Yeah,
it's a double-edged sword. You know, you feel obligated to stay on the road and go make the money, or, you know, you feel obligated to come home and be part of these events too.
Absolutely. But, you know, one of the things that I heard constantly from guys and something that just really stuck with me is that you can never lose focus of why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, obviously we're men and we're out there, we're earning a living for our family, but at the end of the day, if you neglect them and you're not there for them, you know, what are you really doing it for? You know?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, no. Yeah, I mean, I would say as far as negatives, you know, that was a big thing. And I mean, just overall, you know, just being away, you know, like you feel like you have a part-time family life, you know, because you're gone for so many months out of the year. You know, even just friendships, you know, having friendships, like you feel like most of your friends are all long distance friends, you know, or you only really talk to them on the phone or text message because, you know, people that are at home, you don't get to see them because you're gone. And then when you do, you know, you're kind of out of sight, out of mind. So maybe they don't really think to call you or invite you to go places. So you're always in this sort of like limbo thing with your friends, and it's rough.
Now, have you dealt with a lot of brokers? Have you had any problems with any of the brokers? I know I see all the time guys are having broker issues.
You know what? I can honestly say, and I mean, I count myself thankful that I never really had any situations where I had any problems with that. I think an important part of that is just being careful who you decide to go and work for, maybe doing a little bit of due diligence, you know, talking to different guys, you know, and the importance of building that network of guys, you know, and just knowing that you're going to work for somebody who's reputable, who has a history of paying the guys on time, you know, things like that really help you out, you know, and not getting into a situation where you're gonna not get paid for your work.
Of course. Yeah, I hear some horror stories out there.
Oh yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, I've heard guys, you know, that have been owed, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and haven't gotten paid. I mean, I can't even fathom that, you know, you work so hard, you're away from your family. And then to just not get paid and just, sorry, you know, you're not getting your money. It's like, that would be devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So it seems like it's a double-edged sword. You know, you get the freedom, but you're away from your family.
Yeah.
For that freedom.
So. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I know a lot of guys probably enjoy doing the hail, but I imagine that a lot of them are doing it just because they know they can earn a good living. I mean, it's not an ideal way to make a living, you know, because you're always traveling. You're always on the move, on the go. You're living out of a hotel.
You would say it's not ideal for someone who does have a family. So someone myself, single, no kids.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of, you know, why not go and do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a single guy or maybe you just, you know, it's, you know, you have a girlfriend or just, you know, your wife and you have no kids. I mean, I think it would be fantastic. You know, I mean, to be able to travel the country and just see different places. But the minute you have, you know, kids involved, man, it really changes the dynamic of that.
Wow. I'll tell you, I met a Hale guy probably 10 years ago. His name is Mike, and didn't own a house, had a wife and a young kid, and they traveled the country in this tour bus. It was like a rock star tour bus, and he homeschooled his kid, and he said it was the best thing ever. I mean, he just loved it, you know, so... It's got its perks, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, depending on your, you know, who you are and you know, what, you know, your lifestyle. I mean, it definitely works for some people, but for other people, it's tough. But, you know, when, you know, if you live in an area perhaps that, you know, building a retail business or something is tough, you know, chasing hail is the only way that you can make a decent living, you know, in this business. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. And I mean, I'm thankful that I have, you know, my wife at the time, you know, being that when I was on the road, I mean, she held it down, you know, and I mean, she was supportive and she understood that, you know, we're doing this because it's a way to make money and it's a way to support our family. And so definitely having the right partner, wife, you know, is definitely very important, because otherwise, I mean, it can be very, very stressful. And, you know, it's hard when you're trying to work and you're trying to concentrate. And then if you've got things that are going on at home, I mean, your head is in a different place. It's hard to be productive, you know? So it's great when you have a wife that can just hold it down and you just focus on pushing and making money.
Nice. Yeah.
So the transition, I guess, to bring it full circle, you then said, I'm not going to do hail anymore, or next year I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then you're just, I'm going to build a route again, or, I mean.
So here's basically, you know, I'll tell you what happened. Like, for even, you know, living in Florida, you know, living in Broward County was tough. I mean, it's a tough market down there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of dent companies down there, and there's a lot of great technicians, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of good technicians down in the South Florida market. You know, but it is very saturated. So what was happening is that the reason why I ended up chasing hail was because I was having a hard time as a mobile business trying to establish myself, you know, because there was so much competition, everybody's undercutting each other. So I saw hail as a way to support my family with my wife not working at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but then we decided for family reasons to make the move here to Michigan, to be closer to my wife's mom and stepdad. And, you know, I'll be honest, the original plan was just to kind of keep doing what I was doing. I was going to chase hail in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, you know, just do what I could to do some retail work, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, but in the back of my mind, you know, my goal was always, I wanted to have a retail shop, you know, and that's because I do specialize in doing bigger damage.
Oh, yeah. And I was looking at your Instagram. You do some, I mean, for a hail guy, you do some heavy stuff. Like,
yeah. Well, and part of that was because before I got into doing hail, you know, I was doing a lot of that stuff, you know, especially working for Enterprise Rental Car. I would say that was where I really got into doing some gnarly damage. So, you know, that's always been a passion of mine, doing the bigger stuff. But again, I got into doing hail because it was a way to make money. Right. But in my mind, I was always like, wow, you know, I would love to have a retail shop where I can do these larger dents and I'm not, you know, sitting in somebody's driveway or in their office parking lot with the stuff everywhere, tools all over the ground. And so, you know, what really sealed the deal for me on getting a retail shop was the first winter that I was here, man. let me tell you,
Midwest winter.
Oh, it was brutal. I mean, there were days where I would literally just call the customer and say, I'm sorry, I can't come because it's 20 degrees outside and you don't have a garage and I'm not doing this in your driveway. Yep. And so I said to myself, you know what, if I'm going to continue here and I'm going to do retail, I need to have a shop. And so I began the search looking for a shop and trying to find a location. And one day my wife and I were going through car wash and happened to look over, and there was this, you know, kind of a, you know, plaza there with, you know, some automotive built businesses that were already in there, and happened to see a few that were vacant at the time. And so the following day I got some information about, you know, who owns the place, the landlord, and you know, and that was kind of how it all started.
Nice.
Now, did you set all this up before you moved, or you moved and then said, okay, now I'm going to go and do this?
Yeah. So we moved here, and like I said, my original goal was just to keep chasing hail, because I was already kind of frustrated a little bit from, you know, moving from an area where there was so much competition, and every year that I would come back from being on the road, I would try
you're
to
comfortable with chasing get things. You know how the process goes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who you
exactly.
can call and how to go and get to a storm quick or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I don't care who you are. You could be a super motivated, you know, entrepreneur, but you know, from just time and time again of trying to build something, and then, you know, come March, April, and you realize, like, man, I don't have enough to pay my bills off of what I got going on. I have to go chase hail. And then all that momentum that you built up until that point, when you leave gone. And you're gone for 5-6 months, guess what? Gone. All those body shops, maybe that dealership that you picked up, they got to call somebody else. So you're back to square one. By the time you come back in September, you may have one or two that kind of stayed loyal to you, but for the most mm-hmm. part, everybody's using somebody else. And now guess what? Now you got to start all over again. And yeah. after 5 or 6 years of trying to do that, man, it just gets frustrating where you're like, you know what? Forget right. it. I'll just stay doing hail.
It's the same thing that happened to Ian Land.
Ian. Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Same thing happened yeah. with him. He was traveling and coming back and forth, and you know, now he's just on the trail. So
Ian and I actually, I worked for Dent Wizard for a brief period of time, you know, down in Florida. And, right around that time, Ian was also working for them, and that's where I got to meet him. And we've, you know, we've stayed in contact over the years. Yeah, he's a good dude. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead.
No, so you've tried this a few times, and then what made you kind of get it right this time, or kind of pursue it, I guess, further this time? Kind of didn't give up, I guess.
So. You know, I had never tried to open a retail shop in the past. It was always, you know, because I lived in Florida, you know, the weather there is pretty good all year round. You could be mobile and you could be fine. But moving here, I realized pretty quickly that, you know, if I was going to do strictly retail or try to focus my business on retail, that I would need a shop. And, you know, originally it started out where I thought, well, maybe I could just get the shop for the wintertime, you know, and if I could find something right. that was reasonably priced, you know, I could just have it as a backup, you know, and still do mobile retail. But then if the weather was bad or if it was cold,
still have a spot, yeah.
I could just tell them, hey, well, I have a shop, you know, why don't you meet me over there? And so that was honestly, that was the original sort of plan for the shop. But I think what really helped out was that I picked a really great location. And just having the traffic from the car wash and then having the other automotive businesses that were in the same plaza, everything just kind of fell into place. And, you know, I guess I lucked out too, because where I'm at right now, I'm in the Metro Detroit area. So basically the suburbs of Detroit. I'm about 20 miles north of downtown Detroit. And so, yeah, you've heard you watched the movie 8 Mile. So Michigan is, you know, the Metro Detroit area is broken down into miles, and it goes right. from the center of Detroit, you know, so I'm off a 23 miles. So kind of gives you, I'm a 23 miles north of Detroit.
Nice.
But this is a car area. I mean, you've got you've got the big three here. I mean, the car
Motor
club
City.
Scene
Motor City, yeah.
is here. I mean, there's car shows happening, but the thing is, there's not a lot of Dent guys in this area. I mean, there's a good handful, but not so many as there were in Florida where I was from, you know?
Gotta keep your secrets, Christian. Gotta keep your secrets.
You got to deal. You got to deal with the sub-zero temperature. So I think that probably has a lot to do with it. But I feel like maybe everything just kind of aligned for me. You know, after all the years of just banging my head against the wall, I feel like everything just sort of fell into place and just started working.
So what actually fell in place? What did you actually pursue? We got a question here. What did you pursue first when you knew you were going to open up, and what kind of aligned into your favor to make you kind of go, this is it, this is the time to do it?
Well, I think, you know, just picking, you know, especially when it comes to a retail location, you know, picking a location that, you know, has a lot of exposure is key. You know, I know a lot of guys talk about, you know, well, you know, if you could find a place that's, you know, maybe a little bit off the beaten path, you know, you could do okay as long as your marketing is good. But I feel like to really be successful with a retail shop, you have to have, you know, some drive-by traffic where people are, you know, you have exposure, you know, so people can see you, you know, and just, again, I think part of it, part of what made me successful here is my ability to, you know, to do the stuff that other guys were turning down, you know, doing quality repairs, you know, where, you know, the repairs were clean, you know, because again, up here guys have cars that they take to car shows. I mean, they want everything to be, you know, really, really nice. So, you know, being able to deliver that quality repair, really helped me to stand out from, you know, from a lot of the people in the area that, you know, that they were used to using, I suppose. You know, I guess I'm trying to really think of, like, was there something that, that I did? And I mean, I can't think of anything. I mean, I think honestly, it just fell into place, but I think just the consistency of delivering a good quality repair. I mean, that just spreads, you know, and all of a sudden I was getting referrals from people that I had done work for, and it just slowly kind of snowballed from there, you know?
They were like ambassadors for your company at that point.
Correct. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
The word of mouth is more powerful than any marketing you can do.
Yeah. But you know, and then obviously having a good online presence. I mean, I've worked really hard on, you know, having a decent website, you know, the social media is huge. Instagram, Facebook, you know, those avenues have really, really helped me here. You know, just hashtagging certain things. I mean, I get a lot of work from, you know, from people just looking at my Instagram page or my Facebook page, and just being, I guess, amazed by the repairs. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, how did you do that? You know? And so they want to use you. They, you know, you're the guy, like, oh, well, if you can fix that, well then I've got this dent that's like no big deal. So yeah. I think definitely being able to showcase your work and really focusing on having a good, you know, internet presence and social media, you know, especially here in an area where not a lot of guys were really doing that. You know, I mean, there's a few guys that are doing some things on, you know, online, but when you really put a lot of it out there and you dominate, you know, you become that person that people want to, you know, use. Mm-hmm.
And when you're working with these other businesses, are your cards are in their shops and their cards are in your shops type thing? And hey, this is, you know, this is who we use for our dent removal, or, you know, because you have you set up in the plaza.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Your information's in these shops and everyone nearby. Yep. And
yeah. So I would definitely recommend that. I mean, if, you know, if you open up a retail shop and you're in close proximity to some other businesses, I would definitely network with those guys, because it's a huge avenue. I mean, I have a window tint guy. I have an accessories place just down nice. From me. And I mean, we're constantly, I have a detail guy that's in the building just behind me. So we always are referring people to each other. And I mean, it works.
Nice. Cause me and Chris always go over this. Yeah. And, you know, and I say my biggest thing, or what I think the biggest drawback is with a shop, is trying to get the customer to come to you.
Yes.
And yeah. That's what I feel is the hardest part. Whereas, you know, we're mobile, we're able to go wherever. We just need the vehicle, home, work. So correct. How do you, I mean, you're just drawing in these customers through social, through word of mouth.
Yeah.
Are you doing it like any events and stuff like that, or?
I'm actually just, going to be doing my first car show at the end of this month on the 28th. I take care of a Subaru dealership and they have an annual car show that attracts a pretty large crowd. So they asked me if I'd be interested in being a part of it. So I accepted. And so I'm excited. It's going to be my first car show. I mean, I've been to car shows and, you know, usually I'll wear my shirt or something like that, but I've never actually set up at one. So this will be my first deal. And so that's really exciting. But to get back to your point there, you know, that was one of my concerns with opening the shop was, am I going to lose customers because I'm not mobile? And, you know, and Chris and I kind of talked about, we chatted on the phone about this earlier today. I mean, definitely for our target customer, you know, busy people, you know, but they want to get their cars taken care of. I mean, having a mobile service is definitely a bonus, a plus, but I also feel like for the most part, I mean, unless people know about paintless dent repair or mobile paintless dent repair, they still associate us with a body shop, you know, like a repair shop. So people are used to bringing their car to a shop and getting it repaired at a shop. So I feel like if you can convey the fact that you can do a better job on their car at your shop, you know, for certain types of damage, like again, I do bigger, larger damage.
Yeah,
so,
I see, yeah.
You know, doing stuff like that, you know, in somebody's driveway.
Yeah.
You know, for me to be able to work on it in my shop, you know, climate controlled, you know, I have lighting, I have access to tools that I may not be able to bring with me. I can do a better quality job. And you know what? People understand that. And you know, I really haven't had any issues with customers saying, oh man, I was really hoping that you're a mobile. So I guess I'm going to have to call somebody else. You know, it's really not been an issue.
I've actually tried that on 4 or 5 calls today after we got off the phone, Christian, about, you know, our target customers. And one guy, I just quickly just said the exact same thing. You know, we do the larger damage. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't be mobile based on, you know, just different, you know, requirements that we need to be in our shop with the R&Is and all that stuff. And he was quick to say, no problem. I'll figure out a way to get it to you. Let me schedule from this appointment. So I don't know. I think we were going back and forth with the mobile and our customer base and stuff like that. But it seems like I don't get much resistance.
I mean, ideally, and I still do a couple days a week mobile service, but
I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't do mobile retail, but I have a couple of dealerships and a few body shops that I take care of 2 days a week. So Mondays and Wednesdays are my mobile days. And then I'm at the shop, you know, every other day of the week. You know, so I think that especially starting out, if, you know, guys are going to be transitioning from a mobile service to a shop, I would definitely, you know, set some days up, you know, during the week that you could still do mobile so that if you do have a customer that is kind of like, ah, man, you know, I just can't bring my car to your shop, you know, and you think that you might lose that customer by offering the mobile service, you know, a couple days a week, you might be able to still, you know, take care of them. And then, you know, you just decide as your business gets busier, whether, you know, you cut it back to 2 days a week mobile or 1 day a week mobile until eventually maybe you're just 100% at the shop. You know, you can sort of feel that out.
Is the shop closed when you're not there, or is there a staff or a work, you know, an employee there? You know,
that's a great question. Yeah, I'm at the right now. When I'm not at the shop, I basically have a sign in the window that says, you know, we're out on a mobile service call. And then I have my number on there, you know, say, you know, a text or call. But I have thought more so over the last few weeks about, you know, would it make sense to have somebody there at least
maybe just on those 2 days?
Exactly. Something. Yeah. You know, and just, you know, even actually when I'm at the shop, because I was talking about this with Chris earlier today too, you know, when I'm there, I typically, my shop is booked by appointment. So I'll usually know when I get to work that day or to the shop, like I have, you know, these appointments that are coming in. So, and I have everything blocked off by time. But when you're in the back and you're working, and then your phone is ringing, and then I hear the chime, and somebody's coming in the door. Now I got to stop. I got to walk outside. I got to estimate. And then sometimes I'll have customers that are sitting in the waiting room and they're waiting. And so it's like, what do you do? Like, do you tell the person that's coming in the door for an estimate, like, ah, man, I can't help you right now because I got this person's car in the back and they're sitting here waiting. It's tough, you know? And you don't want to make somebody upset because, you know, they feel like, oh man, I'm sitting here waiting. My car's supposed to be worked on. And this guy keeps going in and out of the door, you know, to go give estimates to new people. So it's getting to that point where I think that, it, you know, within the next, you know, little while in near future, you know, I may have to get somebody at least to help me with the administrative side of the business, like the front end, which will allow me to be more productive in the back.
Oh yeah. It'll probably alleviate so much. And it'll be small, tedious things too. Like me and Ryan are kind of going through that now with our first employees here. But it's alleviating a lot of little minute tasks that, you know,
eat up your day.
Have to do.
Huge help.
So let's answer a quick question real quick.
Right.
George just says, which company and what kind of insurance do you need to do mobile dent repair? I use Erie. It's a garage insurance.
Yes.
I think that's what he's asking. I know Progressive does one. They're higher than Erie. But who do you use?
I use a local insurance company here. It's called Frankenmuth Insurance, and they take care of my general liability. One thing is that, you know, when you have a retail shop, you do need to carry garage keeper's insurance, which is it's a different add-on insurance, and that covers the vehicle while it's in your shop, especially if maybe the car is going to be there overnight. It also covers you if you have to drive the vehicle, you know, transportation, if something happens while it's on the road. So it is, you know, you do, when you have a shop, you know, you're going to pay some additional, insurance, but it's not a huge difference. You know, I mean, it's extra, but it's not that much.
Yeah. I noticed at least for the state of Maryland, when you hire one person, I think Virginia is three, you have to cover, workers' comp. And that's a decent expense, to be honest. Yeah. So
certainly for Maryland. Maryland is
Maryland is like, as soon as you hire your next employee, it's workers' comp.
Yeah.
So, and then the audits, I'm going through an audit now, which is I think done, but oh, it's so stressful. It's like
for the workers' comp.
And then the workers' comp audit is like
it's every 3 years in Maryland. Every 3 years you're gonna get audited for workers' comp. So
or you pay 25% markup.
I guess the whole idea behind that is they just want to make sure that whatever you're reporting, at least I know for here, like whatever you're reporting that you're generating in income is what they cover you for. So if that changes, they want to know so they can charge you more.
Of course.
I kind of want to get like your perspective. So this is your first time having like a retail location, right?
Your own location. Yep.
So you find the spot. You sign the paperwork. Here's your keys. Like, what's next? Like, you're sitting in your shop. You're looking at it like, okay, what do I do now? Like, how did that process go for you?
Well, I mean, it definitely wasn't like, you know, just, you know, open the doors and here we go. We got customers, you know. I mean, it was actually the first, you know, the first few months was actually pretty scary. And I had some second thoughts like, man, what did I, you know, was this a smart decision?
Did you open in like spring or summer or was it winter?
We opened in April.
It was April.
You know, because it was April of 2017. I mean, I had come off of a pretty good hail season. So I had, you know, I had some money put away and
knowing
that
you were going to make a move like this too.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so that really helped, and I would definitely recommend that to, you know, to any guys that are listening or watching that, you know, are considering opening up a retail shop. I mean, definitely want to have some money set aside because, you know, just even opening up the shop on its own. I mean, you know, there's things that you wouldn't think about. Like if, you know, you've never had a shop before. Yeah. I mean, you've got all your, you know, your licensing, you've got to set up, you know, with the city, You know, just setting up the shop in itself, you know, buying furniture, putting up a sign, you know, I mean, you know, just different, you know, a front podium for your waiting room, a computer, you know, there's just all these expenses that, you know, you don't think about, but you got to have them, you know?
And you're still trying to get customers in and brand exactly. yourself and trying to make money while it's going out the door as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, to go back to your question, you know, I mean, again, you know, my original idea for the shop, you know, it kind of morphed over time, but it was originally just a place where I was going to just have customers meet me when I needed them to. But after I got into the shop and I realized the potential based on the location, I thought to myself, you know what, I think that I can really make a go of this. And so what I really started focusing on was I did a lot of AdWords. That really helped me in the beginning. I put a lot of money into AdWords and just, you know, pumped that up quite a bit. Again, with you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, just doing ads on there too. I would say out of any marketing that I've done so far for the shop, you know, those three things have been key. I mean, you know, your Google AdWords, you know, Instagram marketing and Facebook were huge in just bringing people in the door.
And it sounds like you've got the right location though. You had the right perfect storm almost.
Absolutely.
Not a lot of dead guys. You are doing the more extreme repairs. And then I think when we talk, there's just not a lot of retail guys. As soon as you ping a Google map of dent repair and there's no one within 30 miles or 25 miles, I mean, you're in a good position.
Yeah.
Where you're at right now.
I just feel like everything just sort of just kind of fell into place for me, you know? So I'm really grateful for that because I've been doing this for so many years and just getting to the point where I was so frustrated of, you know, what was going on and then to finally feel like all those years of doing what I was doing kind of culminated into, you know, everything just falling into place and really working out. You know, so I'm really grateful for just how everything has fallen into place for me.
So did you do like a grand opening just to try to get some buzz?
No, I had plans of doing that and, you know, it just never came around and I do have a little bit of a regret for that. You know, I think that would have been cool. I mean, my wife and I talked about, you know, doing the whole, you know, get a grill and just, you know, just big grill up some hot dogs and some burgers and just, you know, just have people come by. But just, it just never worked out that way. I mean, but I don't think that it hurt us necessarily, you know, I mean, you know, so it would have been cool. I mean, I feel like if somebody were to open up a shop, I definitely do think that, you know, putting on some kind of a grand opening event, you know, maybe put it out on social media, you know, anything that you can do to get people in the door, just to come by and see the place and know where you are. Is very helpful.
And how long has the shop been open?
We opened in March, March of 17. So just a little over a year now. Yeah. And funny story, actually, the shop that I'm in right now is not the one that I started out in. I started out next door just because that one happened to be the one that was available at the time. But I always wanted the one where I'm at now currently, which is a corner unit.
I'll say it looks like it's on the corner.
It's on the corner, yeah. And if you ever read any like marketing books or whatever, you know, they always talk about your end caps. So I don't know if it's called end caps or whatever, but that's where people's attention focuses. When they look at a building, their attention usually hits the corners first, and that's why places like Starbucks and things like that, you always see them on the corners. Very rarely do you ever see them in the middle of the building. So, you know, just a little tip there. If you know, if you're looking at a location, if possible, you know, try to get something that's on the end, because you know, people's eye naturally draws them to the end unit. And so it just so happened to work out that a few months later, the landlord, because I had said to her, I said, hey, I'm going to take this unit because I want to be here. This is the perfect location for me. However, I would love to be on the end. So if the tenant that's there ever decides to not renew, please let me know. And I would like to take that over. And sure enough, like we got in there March, and then 1st of August, we moved into the end unit. And so now that's our permanent location.
Cool. Nice. So for any guys that are on the edge that are chasing hail and thinking about doing retail, is there any kind of guidance you can kind of give them, or tips, or
They
should do, like a plan of attack, you know?
I mean, I would definitely say from the financial perspective, I mean, you definitely want to have some money set aside, you know, at least, you know, figure out, you know, your monthly bills. And I would say at least have 3 to 6 months of bills set aside if your plan is to just jump right into doing, you know, retail or a fixed location. Because I'm here to tell you, even with a great location and being able to fix the kind of stuff that I fix, it's not a guarantee that you're just going to have customers walking in the door. You know, right. if you have a mobile retail business right now, or a mobile wholesale / retail, and you're transitioning into a fixed location, that's a little bit easier. But when you're coming off the hail trail and you want to set up a fixed location, mm-hmm. it's going to take time. And so point number one, definitely have money set aside for your bills, but you also need money to set aside for marketing and advertising, because you're going to want to hit that real hard right off the bat.
And even, you know, what, even fixing the shop up, I'm looking at you epoxying the floor here. I'm like,
yeah. I mean, that was $1,500 right there. Bam. Yeah. The lettering on the windows was another $800 or $900. Yeah. So I mean, it's, you know, you figure right off the bat, you got $4,000 or $5,000 just in, you know, expenses. And that, you know, mm-hmm. the shop when I moved in was fully renovated, not renovated, but the landlord had painted, they put new tile down. So there, you may move into a shop where it's a disaster. So now you've got to make your shop look presentable, you know? Yeah. So how much is that going to cost? You got to factor that in.
Definitely.
And then, I would say secondly, most important is, you know, when you're doing retail, you know, your quality has to be there as far as your repairs. But I would say one of the things that's really helped me out has been my ability to fix larger complex damage. And that's a big proponent of retail. You know, mm-hmm. people are going to bring their door dings. They're going to bring their small stuff, but you are going to struggle big time if you don't have the ability to fix larger damage. So if you're a hail guy and you're used to doing hail and you know, maybe you don't feel comfortable on bigger damage, you know, I would definitely get some training, you know, talk to some of the guys, you know, online, you know, that offer some more of like the advanced training, because that's what's really going to set you apart. And, you know, when you're opening up a retail location and you're depending on people to come to your shop, you don't want to be turning away work. You want to capture as much of that work as you can. So if your skill level is not up to par and you're having to turn away work, mm-hmm. you're hurting yourself.
So we're going to wrap it up and kind of open up the questions. I'm pretty sure a lot of the guys in the chat have some questions for you. But, you know, with you being pretty much in business or a brick and mortar shop for the last, I don't know, a little bit over a year, mm-hmm. do you think you'll go back into hell, or are you kind of liking the way the retail shop is running and going to grow from there?
Oh, yeah. No, at this point, with as busy as the shop has been and just, you know, the fact that I've become established here now, I mean, just short of everything just completely falling apart, I don't see myself getting back on the road. Yeah. And I mean, this is ultimately where I wanted to be. You know, I mean, I enjoy the hail, don't get me wrong. And I enjoy doing a hail car here and there that I've done at my shop, but you know, ultimately this was where I saw myself. And now I feel like I've achieved that. And so, you know, I'm in a good place now.
I was trying to train the boys to get them so they can run the shop for you.
Yeah. That's my son, my older one. You know, he's, you know, kind of expresses a little bit of interest. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple of years. It could be something that, you know, we could bring him in at least part time, maybe do some R and I stuff for me, and then see how he does with a tool in his hand.
And you said that your wife works there, so does she write estimates? Is she just like a counter person?
Yeah. So my wife actually was a she was a service writer for BMW, and that's actually how we met. And right in the beginning, she actually was helping me at the shop, and it was actually great. I mean, she's excellent with customers. She's great, with estimates. Actually, she's better than me at estimates. I made more money when she was at the shop writing estimates because I'm too nice. I have a tendency of giving my work away, and I got to stop that. But she's great. So, I mean, unfortunately, her business that she has, her own business, and that has taken off as well. So she's not been able to help me as much at the shop anymore. Which is a bummer.
good. So if you have any questions for Christian and how he transitioned to a retail shop, please feel free to put in the chat menu right now before we wrap this up. I'm trying to see if there's any shops right now. Jonathan says, do you sell any products at your shop?
No, not at the moment. It was an idea that I had, when I initially opened up the shop, but for right now, it's just primarily just the PDR.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
Where were you originally trained?
I worked for a company way back in the day. It was called Dentworks of Palm Beach. The guy who trained me, John Book, I don't know if he's still around, but that's where I learned. I mean, it was nights and weekends, in his garage working on a hood, and then eventually transitioned to being able to help him out at the dealerships with, just the minor stuff. And then it just kind of evolved from there. So, I kind of was like on the job training with a local, PDR guy.
That's cool.
So David has a question. It says, what is one of your favorite newest tools that impress you the most?
Boy. That's a tough question. I'm a tool guy, and I love the fact that our industry has gotten to the point where it's at, where, these tools are coming out and it's just making our job so much easier. I would say probably one of my favorite tools at the moment, just based on the fact that I do more complicated, larger damage, the stuff from Sal Contreras. I mean, the dent dials have been a huge thing for me. Several months ago, I even got the slot bar for glue pulling, and that has been. I know people use the word game changer, but for me, doing bigger dents and stuff like that. I mean, being able to have that controlled pull with that slot bar is it makes a big difference. So I'm grateful to him for sharing his tools and his techniques. I mean, because it's changed my business.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some stout tools. I had a 22 heavy duty. I think me and Ryan both bought an MT and that thing's in the cart every day now.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of Challenger doors lately within the past couple weeks.
Oh yeah, those things are winning.
I'm in Challenger.
Yeah, you
city
are.
Over here.
Are.
Oh
you
my gosh. And going back to speaking to Sal Contreras, I mean the tip that he shared for the Challenger quarter panels has helped me out big time. Just being able to use the dent dial and bend it into almost like a U shape, and then use that to come up and under, under that brace. I mean, that's big. I mean, I've done probably 7 to 10 Challenger nasty quarter panel dents like that. And using that technique has been great.
Yep. So we have another question is, how many spots do you have for cars in your shop? And do you want more or less than you currently have?
So right now I have a 1,000 square foot shop. I mean the actual workshop space. And it's a long shop, if you can imagine, like long and narrow. So I can fit two cars in the shop comfortably, you know, front to back, with enough space to work around. You know, for right now, with it just being me at the shop, you know, it's definitely more than what I need. If I'm working on a project car or something that's a little more time consuming or a hail car, I'll usually pull that up to the front of the shop, and then I'll leave the back space for, you know, a quick estimate or a, you know, just a quick door ding. So it works, but yeah, eventually I would love to have you know, a shop that has some more space, maybe a designated estimating area, because one of the things that I've found that really helps me to get higher estimates is being able to pull the car into the shop, put a light on it, mark off your damage, you know, and not do it out in the parking lot with the sun. Yeah. And you're just kind of guessing, mm-hmm. You know, trust me, pulling it into the shop, marking it off, even writing that, you know, like Paul Corden says, write your stuff on the panel, show the customer, this is why I'm coming up with this number. And you'll be surprised. You know, so many customers, when I have that light on the damage, they're like, oh yeah. My gosh, wow. Yeah. That light really shows the damage. And I mean, they can see like, wow, it's not just this, you know, small dent that they thought, it's so much larger. So just being able to have a space where I could pull a car in and not disrupt the cars that are already in the shop being worked on would be great. But that's, you know, I consider the shop that I'm in now a starter shop. Yep. And, you know, kind of testing it out, seeing how things go, and then eventually maybe moving into something a little bit bigger.
Nice. Let me see if there's any other questions.
Straight lines asked.
Yeah. How do you get rolling on customers? Is that the same one you were going to?
Right? Yeah.
How do you get rolling on customers and advertising? I think you went over that, and that was your AdWords.
Just your AdWords and your, you know, your social media, you know, advertising, cool. I think is big. But, you know.
What did you initially spend on getting that up and running?
I would say in the beginning, we were probably spending between $500 and $800 a month on AdWords.
Yeah.
Then probably another $300 to $400 on, you know, between Instagram and you know, Facebook. And the nice thing about those is that you can turn them on and off when you know, mm-hmm. when you need them. You know, you're not really bound to any kind of contract. So when you feel like the calls are a little slow, you can throw on a few ads and then, you know, get the phone ringing again, and then you can shut it off. So that's what I really like about it, is that you have that flexibility.
Do you use Yelp?
You know, I don't. Okay. They keep calling me to try to get me to set up stuff, but I just don't do it. Yeah, and I've talked to a few guys that have said the same thing. So I'm, you know, I kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth about them, and you know, even their whole review thing, I'm upset about that, because I have great reviews from customers that don't show up because of their policy.
They're not Yelpers.
Yeah. But not everybody is a Yelper. So, I mean, exactly. How do you expect somebody to get to that point if, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's a frustration of mine. But the Google thing has been working great. Yeah. So, I can't complain with that.
That's a whole nother show for me. So, let's not even get into that.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I think that's it on the questions. I think we're going to call it a wrap. It is 10:04. Right. Christian, I definitely appreciate.
Yeah, man, thank you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
And sharing your story on how you kind of developed your retail shop. I think it's very impressive, actually.
Thank you.
I think we talk from time to time, and it's always a pleasure hearing the new stuff that you're getting into. So.
You definitely try to make it to MTE.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's like I said, you know, we talked about earlier before the show. I mean, it's something I love going to. I mean, I just, you know, because I'm such a tool guy, I love to see what's new. But being in Michigan now, I'm a little further away, so it makes it a little more difficult to get there. But
they make that little thing. It's got two jets on the side.
That kind of takes you there. You know, I'm definitely you know, I'm planning on it if I can.
Cool. Nice. All right, Christian, where can they find you again?
So again, you know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm on there, but I'm not real active with it. But you know, if you just look us up under Five Star Dent Removal, website is fivestardentremoval.com. And yeah, I mean, you know, I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. Hopefully, I've been able to help, you know, maybe some of the guys that are, you know, considering opening up a shop. I mean, it's definitely rewarding. And I mean, if it's something that you've had as a dream, I mean, I would definitely say pursue it, you know, but just think about, have realistic expectations. It's not as easy and as glamorous as it may seem, but you know, it can be, you know, the rewards are there. It's just going to take time and persistence, you know?
Yeah, do you think owning a retail or running a retail shop is harder than actually chasing hail or vice versa?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, again, you know, chasing hail, I mean, yeah, there's, I'm not going to say it's easy. I mean, there's definitely some challenges to that, but you know, when you have a retail shop and you're just dealing with so many different things that are going on, you know, from a business perspective, I mean, it's very hard. And then again, you know, if you've not had experience with running one before and you're brand new to it, it's scary because you're dumping all this money into something that you don't really know for sure. Is it going to work out? You know,
hoping you're making the best decision.
And hoping you make it. And you know, so that just having that in your mind all the time and just hoping that, you know, you're doing the right thing, you're making the right decisions, you're spending the money in the right areas and that it's all going to work its way to making something successful. I mean, it's way harder. But again, it's, you know, nothing in life, you know, that's easy is worthwhile. So you just gotta push through and not, you know, failure is not an option, you know?
Yes. I'm with you. Yep. All right. Dave, Brian, yourself.
Thank you guys.
Wrap it up.
Have a good night.
Dave, Windy City Dent Repairs, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook.
Ryan, RPS Dent Repair, all the same stuff. YouTube, Facebook.
Chris, Dentless Touch.
Christian as well.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Thank you.
Chris, Dentless Touch, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, MySpace, Black Planet.
YouTube Chris, guys. The famous YouTube Chris here.
YouTube Chris.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.
All right.